Greetings, and welcome to the How We Do Digital Ministry podcast. I'm Christopher Harris, founder of Faith Growth. You can find us online at faithgrowth.com, where we help our church clients build their digital presence and engage with their communities online. On this podcast, I have a conversation with a church leader and ask them to share how they do digital ministry in their community. Today, I'm talking with the Reverend Dr. Kathy Johnson, a pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Pastor Kathy, please introduce yourself and tell us how you do digital ministry.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I am Pastor Kathy Johnson, and I am associate pastor at Zion in San Antonio, as Christopher shared. Part of my portfolio here at Zion is actually our digital presence. And so what a gift that is to actually have that built into my job description, as it were. I actually have a doctorate in preaching, and my focus, which I started in 2017, was in online preaching, ironically enough. So I know we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Here at Zion, my current role is I handle our social media quite a bit. And I also, during COVID, when we were online only, I was sort of the staff person in charge of our tech team that took care of all of our worship needs and everything that were online during COVID.
Wonderful. So as all of our listeners can now tell, this is why I'm excited to have Pastor Kathy on, is not only does she have great experience during COVID that she'll share a little bit about, but she's been looking and figuring out how, studying and experimenting on how we use digital to help spread the gospel. So let's kind of start there. You know, we even first met online many years ago now. And so what would you say maybe is your unique approach or perspective about digital ministry?
Right. So when I began a digital gathering in 2017, which was the preaching ministry online that I began for my doctoral work, one of the things that I decided to focus on through that ministry is the idea of hospitality. How do we make our online presence as hospitable to those who are watching and or listening online as possible? So that has carried forward into my ministry here at Zion, as well as this idea of being welcoming, being hospitable to our online congregation. That trickles throughout our worship planning and how we plan our online worship services to not be too long. We made a focus very early on of making sure that we were looking into the camera and not at anybody else that might be in the room, which during COVID was a very small group, but you know, there were people in the room, but our focus was on the camera. Our music director even thinks about what organ stops he uses in an online setting, because we've got a fantastic pipe organ in that room and he can't turn it on full go because it'll blast away the microphones. And so we have to think about all of those things for how do things look on camera. Camera check, so many ridiculous things. How do the candles look and all of that? But one of the things that we've gotten as a consistent piece of feedback throughout the pandemic has been people appreciate that they feel like our worship is created and presented in such a way that they are worshiping. They're not watching other people worship. They are being called into worship themselves and called into participation.
I like that. And I like that. I mean, I think that's important, but I like for you that it started from this ministry of hospitality. And so if we're going to be hospitable and we want to connect, how, you know, then we're going to explore what does that look like and just keep going down those avenues, including candles, including organ stops, including, you know, I'm sure you didn't do all that at once. You probably experimented a little bit this week, that week, and you know, it was a, you know, can you talk a little bit about maybe the process that, I mean, I guess what I kind of want people at home or our listeners to hear is that I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't just come up with the perfect plan week one. It was probably something y'all kept iterating on and it kept getting better. And if you talk about that process a little bit.
Yeah, totally. So week one, right, was pretty rough because actually week one for us, where we tried the live streaming first, was actually live streaming what ended up being our last in-person worship service on March 15th, 2020. I'm not exactly sure what happened because the tech was up in the balcony and I was not. Mm-hmm. But I think they had a laptop battery crash during worship. So that took care of the live stream. Maybe that could be just globally considered our biggest digital fail, although that's not what I wrote down for the question that you gave me, is make sure that, you know, you don't have that happen. But then week one of just being online only, March 22nd of 2020, looks very different, obviously, than where we are now. We are still doing an online only worship service. And somewhere last summer, and I can't remember exactly what month, one of the things that my husband and I had noticed in some online worship services that we were watching was churches putting the words for hymns and other pieces of liturgy up on the screen. And so that was actually something that we did not add until last summer. It takes a tremendous amount of work to do that, well. There's a lot of proofreading involved in all that. And so we really had to kind of figure out a rhythm for all of that, of who's going to look this over and make sure that, because we do a digital and online bulletin. Well, we have to make sure that the words in the bulletin match the words that are on the screen. You know, are we all singing the same words of the hymn? Things like that. So, right, all of that just continued to unfold. And a lot of it was because of feedback we got from congregation members and from others who would watch online and say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? A lot of work.
Especially the slides. I did that for a congregation for about 3 years. And is, you know, and if you're looking for the easy ways to, like, how do I not have to type every verse, and, you know, finding maybe different online repos, but then I need to check that against the ELW, or right, for those that are not in the Lutheran Church, that's our Evangelical Lutheran Worship Book. So yeah, it was always, just like you said, keeping it all consistent. I know how much work.
Well, and we were so fortunate that one of the people that jumped onto our tech team right away is somebody that, his life is in computers. And so I don't even know, probably a quarter of what he's done to make that all sort of that process easier for him. And, you know, all kinds of coding and things that I don't even pretend to know about. But I just know I have to proofread an Excel spreadsheet every week, or now a Google Sheets spreadsheet every week against a bulletin. And that's sort of how we have started keeping that all clear, of making sure that our pieces match up. Because we do have people that use our bulletin as well as the words online.
Yeah. So tell me about that Excel spreadsheet a little bit. Is it more like a run sheet for y'all internally, or is that something you share with online? I guess that's more of an internal tool. Is it?
Actually, no. The words that are in one of the columns, those are the words that actually go on the screen. He has written the code so that we use OBS.
I'm sorry. What are y'all using?
We use OBS.
Okay, OBS,
which is an open source, I believe. And yes, so he's written something with that where it actually reads that that column, and so it pulls the words out from there. And
so he has macros and things. Anyways, we won't go that deep into it, but there's ways that's cool.
Yeah.
That's even more elegant than when I was doing it. That's cool. I will say that for those of y'all that don't have people in your congregation that can program it, there are some other solutions. And, you know, in our Facebook group, if you ask me the question, I'll go into that, you know, how some other ways that you can do that if you need help with that. But back to Pastor Kathy here, one of my favorite questions to ask, you know, and it doesn't even have to be during this last year, it can be previous to that, but I always, you know, where have you, maybe what's an example of where you've encountered God or seen God at work online that you might be able to share with us?
Sure. I think, you know, as I said, my doctorate was in preaching, and so I love good preaching. And so this was pre-pandemic. I mean, we have a lot of the same friends. I have landed in a circle of friends who are also very good preachers and who have also been in digital ministry as long as I have, we have, or as long, or even longer. Mm-hmm. And I just remember there have been a couple of road trips that my husband and I have been on through the years. And maybe on a Sunday, we haven't been able to be in worship in a physical space, but we maybe pull up one of our friends' worship services. Because like you, again, a lot of the same people, they were doing broadcasting of their sermons or worship services long before COVID hit.
Yeah.
And being able to hear the preached word of God from somebody who's an excellent preacher and hear that and encounter God, even as I'm driving, you know, down Route 95 in Maine, for example, as we're trying to get to Logan Airport in Boston on time. You know, it's powerful. It's really, really powerful. I am somebody that loves driving, loves road trips. And so I encounter God often in my car when I have that opportunity to take a long drive. Being able to listen to somebody who's a friend, but somebody who's also a very good pastor and a good preacher. As I'm sort of in that zone of encountering God, it almost turned my car into a chapel of being able to hear that preached word of God.
Love that. And thank you for sharing that. You know, what for me, I mean, I think it hammers home one of the key things about digital is it really allows not just the church, but the divine, you know, it comes into our space. And as church leaders, we talk a lot about, you know, how can we help our, you know, church members, you know, kind of live out this faith or encounter God, you know, the other 7 or 6 days a week, you know, not just the day that they show up at church. And that's a good example of how the technology has helped you, you know, have that experience. I also like that it wasn't just necessarily I think that experience also puts that it doesn't even have to be a stationary position, you know, that you're able to do that, you know, that not only do we have the internet that comes to your house, it's on your phone, and you're even able to do that in the car while moving. I agree with you. I love road trips, and especially when you can get out of a big city and get to some clear open road. Yeah. It's a good time to encounter and pray.
Yeah, for sure.
So tell me about what are some of the things that y'all, you know, a year into this, you know, what are some of the things you might be trying in your church as far as digital ministry, and especially as you're thinking about maybe hybrid or, you know, kind of what's next when you start bringing people back in person. You know, what are some of the things that you have tried or planning to try to help continue doing effective digital ministry?
Sure. So we are back in person. We regathered for the first time on May 23rd on Pentecost. And so we right now through the summer, we are running 2 in-person worship services here at 8:30 and 10 o'clock. And then we, as I said earlier, we're doing a live stream only service that begins at 11:30. And our live stream only service is, it is basically what we've been doing throughout the pandemic. It is based on a non-sacramental worship service. Mm-hmm. When we did the sacraments during the pandemic, it was over Zoom, so it was more interactional and face to face. That was just the pastoral decision that we made here at Zion, realizing that a lot of other churches chose to handle the sacraments differently. We follow loosely a pattern of what you would call service of the word, which again, it doesn't have, you know, communion with it or anything, but is a lot of scripture, preaching, word, prayer, and singing, of course. And we have a small group of very good singers that have been with us throughout the pandemic, a lot of college students that are music majors, and they have just given of their time and their beautiful effort throughout. And then the tech team, of course, is here as well. So that's what we're doing throughout the summer, summer schedule. We're still working that out. Throughout the pandemic, we tried different, like shorter worship services, midweek kind of things, some of which were live, some were pre-recorded. We have found here as worship leaders that The worship experience online tends to be more meaningful if we ourselves feel like we are worshiping as we're leading, even as we are online. And part of what helps us sort of be in that worshipful mode is the live experience rather than pre-recording.
Yeah.
That again, that's us, and everybody has a different take on that. For some people, some churches, pre-recording is the only option they have. And so I don't want anybody to hear me as slamming that. That's just our preference. So we're going to keep going with some of that. Our summer schedule in the fall will have to shift, and we're not exactly sure what that's going to look like yet in terms of our online worship, but we want to keep offering online worship that is built for, prepared for an online congregation only, and not merely just streaming. Here are the people that are gathered in the room. That participation element and that bringing people in for us is very, very important.
I like that. And it brings up two questions. And the first that I kind of think about is, well, first, I was just curious, before COVID came in, you know, how many services did y'all have in person on a Sunday morning? Was it
two?
So it was two. So then this continuing this is kind of something extra right now, or well, it is extra. And then two, yeah, I guess the second question is more of a statement. You know, I like the way you say that, well, A, it allows you to worship if you're doing it live. I will tell you that for me personally, I'm the same way, or well, I haven't really been leading worship, but I'm better if I'm attending something like it starts at this time. Even though on some Sundays I wasn't available to worship with my church, I did catch it later, but I'm much better if like, hey, here's the time. But then too, I like that y'all are really respecting the online people in a sense, preparing it just for them, because I mean, I think there's probably a way to do what some people are saying, hybrid and live stream at the same time. And I really do think there's a way to do that effective. I just think it's going to be harder than doing two distinct experiences. That's just based on my experience of having led worship.
Yeah.
I wonder what your thoughts are on that. And, you know, since y'all have decided, at least for the summer, to kind of keep doing this, you know, at the 11:30 time slot, how are y'all thinking about that?
Well, you know, our in-person worship will always include a sacramental element, and that is just not something that's sort of a bridge too far for us theologically in terms of our sacramental theology. And again, realizing that every faith community and pastor has to make that decision for themselves. We are more comfortable offering things online that are non-sacramental if it's not live and like on Zoom. For example, which is what we did Zoom communion during the pandemic. And that gave a different piquancy because we were looking at each other's faces and we were speaking together and we could hear one another. And, you know, there was a different element of feeling gathered around, you know, word and meal on Zoom. I agree with you. I think a hybrid approach can be done well, but it's tricky, right? Because if you have the people in the room, your instinct and how we're trained as pastors largely is to talk to them. Very, very few people, worship leaders, have I seen online, if there's a camera going with people in the room, also a gathered congregation, they're not always speaking to the camera and engaging with the camera and the people who are on the other side of the camera watching. They're not necessarily thinking of those people as a gathered online congregation, which is how I think about it. Now, that's how I thought about it even when I was doing digital gathering. It takes a lot of time to get used to talking to a little dot on a phone or a little dot, you know, yeah, whatever, a camera lens. But you have to think about the people that are out there and that maybe are watching 4 days later. One of the things that we did regarding that hospitality piece again is I told my colleagues very early on, we can't walk out leading worship in the pandemic, you know, online only worship, and say good morning.
Yeah.
Because what if somebody's watching at 6 o'clock at night while they're making dinner?
Yeah.
And right there, that's a hospitality piece that's really easy to change. Instead of coming out and saying good morning, say hello and welcome to worship
to worship in the
church. Right. And that, I mean, it's just a tiny little thing, but it makes a difference. I swear it makes a difference. So with hybrid, you really do have to think about all those little things, both to the people in the room and then addressing head on, you know, because you don't want those people to feel like we're just voyeurs. We're just watching, you know, these other people worship. At least that's not what we want.
Well, that's exactly. I mean, that's, you know, I had a guest a few weeks, or it'll be a few months ago by the time this airs, but Pastor Rich Hong, and he's in New Jersey. He's a PCUSA pastor. And he used the analogy, like he's going full bore with hybrid worship. And I think he has a good model. But he used it, you know, he's like, I love baseball. And there's one experience when you're in the stadium and there's one experience online. And so he's recognized he almost is going to have two production teams working it for the same experience. And so I'm excited to kind of see, I want to learn from him. But I would also kind of, if I was like, especially a solo pastor, I probably would be doing more kind of like what y'all are doing, maybe a 15, 20 minute online service. And then our in-person, I mean, that's what I think I would try first. It doesn't mean, because that's the other exciting thing right now. I think we're trying things to see what is going to be best practice. And we don't really know the best way. So I'm also interested to see how y'all experience the summer and what y'all will end up choosing to do in the fall and what that schedule may look like.
And Christopher, you've said, I want to lift up, because I was a solo pastor when I started Digital Gathering, when I started my doctoral work and everything. I was a solo pastor in a small congregation, didn't have a lot of staff, you know, I had great support sort of on an emotional and spiritual level for what I was doing, but I didn't have, you know, I didn't have a lot to draw upon in terms of resources. So everything that I did with Digital Gathering just about was done using my phone and a dippy little tripod that I bought online for, you know, $15 or whatever. We did eventually buy a little bit of a nicer camera because we got some grant money to do that. But, you know, I know full well the struggles of the solo pastor kind of trying to do all this. And it's a lot. And so I just want to offer a word of encouragement to the pastors out there that are sort of trying to figure this out still and are struggling. You know, do the best you can with what God has given you, kind of thing. And people are hungry to hear a word. They are hungry to hear a word. They are hungry to hear the word of God. And so Digital Gathering, the liturgy was very simple. It was word, preaching, and prayer. No music, none of those shenanigans, because I couldn't afford the licensing for it and I didn't want to mess with it. It was very simple. And yet people were drawn to it because they were hungry for a word.
Well, and what I agree with the hungry for word, and then just kind of starting with what you have, those resources. I mean, even this particular podcast, I know other tools, and finally I'm just like, okay, we're going in Zoom because I have that right now and everybody knows how to use it. And we, you know, there's just that at some point you just have to start and try. And honestly, until you get into it, you're not going to find the better ways to do it. And so it's just like, try, and then you will find people that will help you, that will give you tips. Some of the people that, you know, that I've interviewed have suggested new tools on the pod, you know, just for this using this podcast as an example, you know, new tools in this, and we're growing and we're getting better, and there's going to keep changing. I mean, hopefully it'll keep changing for the better. And that's the plan. But if we wouldn't have just got it started, we'd still be planning. At some point you just got to go.
That's exactly right. And I agree with that. When I started my doctoral work and started Digital Gathering, I couldn't mess around, right? I had to just get going because my degree depended on it. Doctoral work depended on it. So absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to do it. But you know, even, And I wrote about this actually in my thesis, even such things as like thinking about, you know, if you're using a phone, you can angle the phone so that we're not looking at your nose hairs, you know, things like that. I mean, swear, like it's out there.
The Instagram pose or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not the duck face, but
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you can think about things like camera angles. And right now, Christopher, you're propped up on a Bible and a hymnal so that the camera is eye level. So those are all small things that you can think about, even, you know, right in the simplest way.
Standing on the word of God right there. Yeah.
with the Apocrypha. So
exactly. Yeah, hey. Tell me a little bit, like, what is your hope right now for the church, the future of the church?
You know, one of the things that I think, and this started for me again pre-COVID, for my work with Digital Gathering, is being online, preaching online, offering worship online, all of that. It really helps us think outside our boxes, think outside our walls of our buildings. It helps us potentially reach a more diverse congregation than what may come in through our doors and sit in our pews. Diversity in terms of, you know, race, ethnicity, the LGBTQ community, the disability community. Chris, I don't know [S2] Yes. [S1] If you follow any of them on Twitter, but they are begging faith communities to continue, you know, worship online, because a lot of our people that are ill or chronically disabled, online worship gives them, you know, an experience that they haven't been able to have before. And so all the way around, having worship online or having something, you know, online, some sort of faith experience online, it reaches a more diverse group of people than probably who will show up on our doorsteps. And so it helps us be more open. It helps us think about others other than ourselves, which I think is, you know, important. Something yeah. that maybe Jesus talked about quite a bit. But it also, right, yeah, just a little. It also, you know, if you get on YouTube and you just start searching for worship experiences, I mean, there's a wealth of different worship styles out there. And some of them, you can tell these churches have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, doing all this. And then others have not. And there's everything in between. You know, we have not spent hundreds of thousands of dollars here at Zion on what we offer. We just have an eye for detail and we try to pay attention to things as best we can. So that the first thing is diversity for the church. Yeah. But also this, I'll go back to what I said at the outset, this idea of being welcoming and hospitable, even to those who are online. Not thinking of them as the other, but thinking of them as you know, connected, part of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's really important. You know, I don't think I've told you this yet, but since August, I've been worshiping with a church in New York City. And so, you know, that I get this, and it's a good connection for me, and it's a good place. And, you know, I like, you know, that I'm acknowledged as a part of that community. And, you know, it's not just, you know, that they're going out of their way to make sure that the online community is welcomed and fully included, if you will, as opposed to just, okay, they watch us. And, you know, so I'm glad y'all are doing that as well. And then I had one more comment on the, like you're saying, you know, this church is spending a lot of money, and if you have it, that's good. But even if you have it, I might tell you to wait a while. Because I think, you know, I'm somebody that knows all the tools, and even I slowly, because sometimes until you kind of have a good plan, you don't know the best way to use those resources.
Right.
And how are we really going to do this? And, you know, okay, yeah, go install $20,000, $30,000 worth of cameras into your sanctuary that are all remote control and all that. And you've really locked yourself into one type of experience that may not be the best experience, because those cameras are going to probably be in the back and they're not going to be as close, you know, and things like that. So you might try a couple other things before you go and just decide, oh, this is the, you know, and just kind of grow into it. So one last question. We have time for one more question. And this is just, I think, this is another one of my favorite questions. Is there just anything that I should have asked you? Is there anything that you would like to share about digital ministry that I didn't ask about?
I want to offer a word of encouragement to my colleagues and all of those that, you know, the world is online. And I mean, you stand in line at a coffee shop, you go to a restaurant, you you know, you're on public transit or whatever. People are staring at these things. And I feel like more than ever, especially now with being in pandemic life for 15 months now, the church really has an obligation to jump into that world if we haven't already, to be present with people in their online lives. And to offer the word of hope that we have to offer, you know, in our case, as Lutherans, the hope of Jesus Christ, and for other faith leaders that hope may be different, but we live in a world that is in desperate need of hope. And that is something that we can offer. And again, it doesn't have to be fancy or whatever. It just needs to be there and be present with people in their online lives.
Exactly. Thank you. Because I think that, you know, for too many years, we've just been, you know, we have this message of hope, but it was always come to us, mm-hmm. come to this building, come to this program, this event, this Bible study. And, you know, what I hope we take from COVID more than just we can put worship online is like, no, we can put this whole story, this story of Jesus Christ and, you know, in our faith tradition of, you know, of redemption and hope, grace, redemption, hope, and healing, that we can share that where people are spending most of their time.
Right.
And then maybe down the road, the invitation has come to us, but we can start this invitation right where they're at, right now, whether they ever show up in our building or not.
Yeah.
I think that's powerful. Or to me, that's the exception.
I think so too. And realizing that some people will never be able to set foot in our buildings for, you know, geography or other reasons. And yet giving the message to them, you know, of the hope and healing. You use the word healing, that's important too.
Yeah. Well, you know, the image when you were talking about that came to my mind is like, this is kind of the modern day Paul's missionary journey. Yeah. He would have just gotten on Zoom. He didn't need to actually get on those boats and go from town to town. But, you know, it's almost, you know, that's, but I mean, he literally was taking it out to where the people were. And especially in that time, as, you know, the message was beginning to spread. And that's kind of the similar thing. We're going to go out to where the people are spending their time. It's nice that we have pretty buildings, but that's not the only way that we can share the gospel.
Right.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have, unfortunately. This has been a great conversation. I want to say thank you very much, Pastor Kathy, for being our guest on How We Do Digital Ministry. I want to invite all of our listeners to make sure to follow and subscribe. So either follow on your favorite podcast player or subscribe on YouTube if you are watching there. Pastor Kathy, how can our listeners find and follow you online?
I'm on Twitter at SmilingKIJ. I am on Instagram at SmilingKJ. And you can find Zion on YouTube at Zion San Antonio.
All right. Thank you. So once again, I want to thank all of you for listening. And I'd also want to connect with you on Facebook. We have a Facebook group called How We Do Digital Ministry. And it gives you the opportunity to discuss with other church leaders all about digital ministry, ask questions, tips, tricks, and a way that you can experience this community the other 6 days of the week when we don't release a podcast episode. So the link will be in the show notes. Please come join us on Facebook and join the discussion about all things digital ministry. Until next week, peace and blessings to you all.